We're in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and actually we left off at verse 21 last week, and so that's where we'll pick up this week, and I want to just give you a little review of what we saw so far in Romans 1, is, the just shall live by faith. What a great thing that God has said to us, the just shall live by faith. And so that's exactly what Cheryl was doing. And Louie, you're stepping out in faith, and God healed. And that is so beautiful. Now, we were told in verse 20, the last verse we looked at last week, is that the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. Clearly seen. And we looked at Psalm 19, where it says that actually the stars and the sun speak about the Lord. I mean, as you look at creation, there's words there, it says in Psalm 19. You can hear His words speaking to your heart. And I shared with you that a man named Bob Thiem wrote a little pamphlet on that about what about the people that never heard about Jesus. And he entitles his little pamphlet, Positive Volition, so that when people around the world that have never heard about Jesus see the stars, and they see the sun, they see the creation and the trees, there's something there that draws them to the fact that there is a God. And if they begin to believe in their hearts and move that way, God will send them a missionary. And of course, there's missionaries all around the world. And that is a great thing to know about our Lord. And so they are without excuse, it says, to not know God, because even the creation talks about the Lord as you just look at it. Now here in verse 21, we get into really a list of sins. And so this is going to be a little hard on you tonight, but we have to have the whole counsel of God. And then in chapter 2, the first four verses, we don't want to leave without looking at those tonight, which talks about salvation and getting away from any kind of sin that might be plaguing you or I. But it says, because that when they knew God, and they knew God through the draw of creation, everybody knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They got into bad habits. They began to want to dismiss God from their consciousness and push Him away, to abandon Him. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And here we have that they, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like uncorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And so those that would not have a positive draw towards God or denied that, pushed that aside, they got into idol worship. And they began to build false gods, and a lot of them were fashioned after animals. Did you know the 10 plagues that were in Exodus against Egypt was actually an overflow of what they were worshiping? I'll just give you an example. Frogs. They worshiped frogs. And they were just at awe at frogs. And so God gave them too many frogs. And all the frogs came out and were in their ovens and in their beds. And it was a judgment from God on worshiping these other gods. And I remember in the movie, The Ten Commandments, with Yul Brynner playing Pharaoh, that when his firstborn died in the Passover judgment, he went and laid the baby upon the altar of this, I think this god called Dagon, but it was a god that had a man's body and a bird's head. And so we read these things in the scriptures here of how they changed the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So that's what happens to folks when they choose in their minds and hearts not to go for God, but they begin to actually be corrupted. and professing themselves to be wise, it says in the first part of verse 22, they became fools. Now I saw a picture one time that really struck me about this, that it shows the different close to missing links that the science says that they have found, but one of them turns out to be built from a tooth that was from an extinct pig. I mean, they're just guessing. And so at last they show a statue of an ape and the man bowing down to the ape. And so it says at the bottom of the pictures, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And man, that's what's taught in our universities, that we came from apes, which is unbelievably not wise. Because, wow. And with the that kind of thing, I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that I remember hearing that one of their rules was the more complex the chromosome structure of a cell, the more complex the animal is. But until they found out that the chromosome structure in bees is more complex than that in a human being. So if you go along with the evolutionary thing, we're all becoming bees. So if you start to buzz or grow wings, you'll know that that's true. but it is ridiculous, you know, this whole thing. So professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, we'd like to go ahead and just go ahead and read after this now. It says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. They began to worship these creatures, and actually we're going to see a line a little further down that says they serve the creature more than the creator. And that is something I think that can really define homosexuality for us, that people start worshiping the creature rather than the creator. You know, I think of that Adonis thing from Greek mythology, where Adonis looks in the pond and he sees his own reflection and he falls in love with himself. And you know, I think that that's what's wrong with Hollywood and the high gay population there, is that, you know, they just get on the big screen and they love to watch their movies over and over again, and they fall in love with themselves and they look for a mate that looks like them. And that's just a personal opinion. But it says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And so this idea of, you know, the gay people looking at the same sex and worshiping them and doing terrible things with them. And this is something that God says when he gives someone up to something. Now, we need to talk about that phrase, giving up, gave them over. This is a judicial term in the Greek used for handing over a prisoner to his sentence. That actually God's going, okay, so you don't want to have a positive volition towards me by seeing the creation. You don't want to listen to missionaries. You want nothing to do with Jesus. But you're going to go your own way. But this is where it leads. And so God allows that to be because we have free will. Everybody makes their own choice. Otherwise, we'd be puppets and forced to love God. And so that's what we're seeing in our society and have for so many years. Caesar Nero, in the time of Paul, actually married a little boy. Yes, it was very prevalent, the homosexual thing, in the Roman Empire, just before the Roman Empire fell and was judged by God. There was much of this homosexual thing going on. And so Caesar Nero considered himself the husband in the relationship with this little boy who he had castrated and then married him. And then later he was the wife figure in another relationship. In an article I just read this week, that most homosexuals have over 500 relationships before they die. That's the way it is. And as they interview a lot of them, they've had at least six different partners. It's not like it's a deal of love that they try to tell us. It's a lust thing. And they become worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And so God gives them up to their sentence because of that, allowing their sin to run its inevitable course is what happens. And it's very sad what happens. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed. I already read that verse. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women, the lesbians, even the women, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly or shameful. It is, it's a shameful thing. And, you know, I said that this was shameful one time in a sermon, which I'll say again because it says it here in the Bible. And somebody got mad at me because one of their relatives was gay. And I shouldn't be saying things like that. But, you know, wow, we have to say things like that because it's the truth. And the truth will set us free. And so it says, working that which is shameful or unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense or penalty of their error, which is met or due. The sin in them actually working out these terrible, terrible things. Now, my sister is in the Salvation Army, and she was stationed at an AIDS ward. So she got to get close to how horrible that is. That is horrible. And they don't publicize the horribleness of that very much. And there's this hospital called Eisenhower Hospital in the desert where we live. We have a house out in the desert. And Eisenhower Hospital is filled with dying gay people from AIDS because that is a population that's kind of been like Laguna Beach. A lot of gays live in Palm Springs now. And so we know one of the nurses that works there. And it is a horrible, horrible disease. And the things that these gay people do to one another cause so many terrible things. Well, the latest thing I heard, I don't know if this is okay to share, and I don't know, but it's just a medical thing that's going on, but they have to have a cork in their buns because their sphincter muscle has been destroyed from gay activity. And so, in order not to go to the bathroom all the time, they have to have a cork. And I thought, man, that is just a nightmare, horrible thing. But it is the truth of this, is the truth of this. And so we're just bringing that out. Now, let me read you a prayer request that I got this last week on the internet. It says this: hello, I need prayer. I am, or I was, or I think I am a Christian. I am a backslider, and I am of whom Paul spoke in Romans chapter 1, where we're reading. I know the judgments of God, and I don't believe I can be saved anymore. This is where this brings people spiritually. Now, we just talked about the physical consequences. Horrible. Nightmarish. But here, this is even worse, the spiritual, what this will do to a person. So he says, I know the judgments of God. I don't believe I can be saved anymore. I think about all my sins I've committed, and I am terrified. I've been having nightmares of demons, and he tells me that I will be his. if I can have an audience with the pastor, I would be grateful, as I am desperate and I am tired of living like this. Sometimes I think I would be much better for everyone around me if I were dead. Please help me. And he signs his name. And thank God he gave his contact address. We were able to email him. He didn't give a phone number, but to just encourage him, and gave a little Bible study from the book of Romans, what happens after these things we're reading tonight, which is so much better, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and how God wants to save these guys and gals. They have totally just gone the wrong way and rebelled, open-faced against the Lord and his drawing, even through nature, to say, I'm God, come to me. But they've just gone the other way, and their minds became decayed with these desires that are so not of the Lord. And then they were poisoned with that and began to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And this is where it goes. It goes to where this prayer request is. So praise the Lord, we're able to contact him and invite him, and so we're still working with that situation, and that I might be able to meet with him personally and encourage him to come back to Jesus. It's never too late. Amen? It's never too late. Oh no. And so to get him back with the Lord. Okay, but these are very important things. Now, I'd like to go ahead then and read verse 28. Now it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's what it was about. I see God out there, but I do not want to retain him in my knowledge. I want to go the other way. Then it says, God gave them over, and there's that clause again, is to allow the sin to take what it, you know, the outcome of that sin to take its effect from the free choice of the person that's involved. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind, or a debased mind, or a depraved mind, which are not convenient. Now this word depraved, or debased, or reprobate, actually is the Greek word which means not passing the test. They're not passing the test, that God's testing them, saying, which way are you going to go? They're going, we're going the wrong way. They now have a reprobate mind, and that's a very wicked place to be, because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can even know it? And God needs to take away our hearts of stone and give us a soft, pliable heart. But if we get a stony heart, then there's no end to the just depraved, reprobate things that come up in those brains. It was often used to describe useless, worthless metals discarded because they contain too much impurity. And so that is what that means in the Greek language. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now at this time, these verses will become even more convicting to us, because probably most of us aren't homosexual. But of course, those scriptures were for them. But now from verses 29 to 32, it begins to list all of the things that are an abomination to the Lord. All of those things are represented by the rebellion against God. I don't want anything to do with him. Jesus said this, this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And so we just looked at that one. Now let's go on. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, which is sex outside of marriage, people that cheat on their wives and go after different women, and girls also cheating on their husbands. That's fornication. And it's really sex outside of marriage. And it's a terrible thing. Now, I know the gay people want to say, well, just let us get married. But what good is that if you're going to have 500 partners? I mean, come on, that's not really marriage. It's fornication. wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now there's a convicting one. My goodness, what teenager hasn't been disobedient to parents nowadays especially? But that's on the list. Wow. We're all guilty. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. And that happens when we're not going with God. Unnatural affections spring up. Implacable or unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now this idea of knowing is very strong. Let me read it. It's not ignorance, but blatant rebellion is what's going on here. It's a blatant rebellion against the Lord. Pastor Bill used to work for Disneyland, and I knew a lot of gay people were over there in some of the, you know, things they do, the dancers and stuff. There's a real gay community over there. And I said, Bill, what's wrong with those people? And he says, it's rebellion. It's 100% rebellion. They're rebelling against what's right and against everything that's called godly. And so that's what we read in the Bible here. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same in God's face, they just, in your face, God, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I wanted to say a word here about something I felt like the Lord showed me about my life, and that is we have to watch out what movies we watch. Because even though we aren't involved in sin very much, it's fun to watch it, for the flesh. The flesh likes that. And you can get into revenge movies where you're really happy that the bad guy gets stabbed in the end and dies with mutilation because he deserves it. And Hollywood is really good at making the bad guys really, really bad. Where in real life situations, it's usually, not that black and white of who's wrong and who's right, just the spin you put on it. But they love to make those revenge movies because they sell. People love to see bad guys get killed really bad. And the scripture says, don't put any wicked thing before your eyes, lest it cling to you. It can begin to cling to a person, and that produces the reprobate mind that gets going on the wrong path. And of course, as time has gone on, we've gone from Cleaver Beaver to Murder in the Night and Stab Him in the Dark. You know, it's just amazing where the media has gone. But I want to say a positive thing. I've said a whole bunch of negative things right now because we happen to be in a very negative part of the Bible. And we want to give you the whole counsel of God. It's a warning. It's a sharpening for us. But there's some really great Christian movies out. I just saw a Christian movie last night with my wife, Sherry, and I really turned to her afterwards and I said, you know what? The Christians are getting good at making movies, finally. That's not some kind of B movie, like See Dick Run, Watch Jane Go. You know, it's this is a classic, beautifully done, well-acted movie. It's called The Case for Christ. And I recommend this highly to you. It really is now, I think, the best Christian movie I've seen so far. And the critics usually give Christian movies 22%, 13%, 11%. And of course, that's some kind of liberal bias sometimes. But sometimes it's just because it's a bad movie. But this one got 87% from the critics. And it is really catching on. So you might want to see this one, The Case for Christ. It's a true story right down the line about Lee Strobel, and how he was a blatant atheist. And he set out to prove to his wife he'd become a Christian. He was so ticked at her because she became a Christian when they were an atheist household and began to teach Christianity to their daughter. Oh man, that was just terrible to him. And so he set out, he's a very smart man, to disprove the resurrection. And so it takes you through the steps that he went, the experts he went to, and just unbelievable things. And is it okay to give you the end of the movie? You probably know. But he came to Jesus, and he's a pastor now in Georgia. And it was just a beautiful, so beautifully done. And I'm so happy with that. So we want to be careful the movies we watch, because they can affect us. They can really affect us. They cling to you. That's why, and you know, John Corson made this point on the radio years ago. Why do the advertisement people spend billions and billions of dollars a year to put something on TV? It's because it sells. It clings to you. The little jingles get stuck in your mind, you know. I'm trying to think of one, but I can't right now. You can probably think of one of the jingles. But those guys aren't dumb. They spend these billions of advertising money because they know it's going to work. It's going to get some customers. And so we just kind of transfer that to watching 16 R-rated movies, you know. And some people just put their kids down in front of those things, man. And so then they wonder why the kid is uncontrollable later. Man, come on, wake up. We got to just be careful with the movies in our homes. We have to be careful that we don't allow Satan to parade in front of us evil things, setting our minds on evil things. And like this verse says, having pleasure in them that do these terrible things. And, you know, slowly but surely, and maybe you felt this too, in our society, the bad guys are becoming the good guys. Everybody dresses in black. I'm looking down because I've noticed even I have been found in sweats that are all black. Maybe that's because that's all they're selling. But I'm going, what am I wearing black for? You know, let's get some bright colors on here, you know. And the society is not good, you guys, and I think you know that. It's not getting better either. Anyway, so there it is. There's the problem. And we want to get quickly away from that problem. So now, let's go on now to chapter 2, because just reading these things here, you can become angry at people you know that are involved deeply in these things. And you want to get a grenade and blow them up. But that's not what God wants to do with them. He wants to get them saved, gloriously saved. And he begins right away in chapter 2, as if he knew what needed to be said next. In reading this list and perhaps thinking bad things about people you know, and people that might be caught up, like this poor man here that sent me the prayer request. He has totally been ripped off of his spiritual life and maybe even his physical life if he's caught any diseases from his activities. But God wants us to reach out and be ready. So let's read chapter 2 then, the first four verses tonight, because this is so good and this takes us a complete 180 degrees away from the bad stuff. So it says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are who judges. You begin to put yourself on God's throne and put his glasses on and say, I'm the new judge. Let's kill them all, you know, kind of thing, you know, because that's the kind of thing it produces when you start thinking, well, why is our nation going down? These people are all doing these horrible things and God's going to get ticked. And he's going to let North Korea get us, or the Chinese to come over and come up on Newport Beach, sand because we're going downhill. And Rome fell after the homosexual thing hit so hard. Rome fell. Same thing happened to Greece. It's history repeating itself. And so those kinds of things go through our minds. But God wants us not to think of that and to start judging people in the sense of trying to play God. Oh no, we have to just look to God and say, God, keep me from these things, and help me as a good Christian to reach out and to love people back from these horrible things. So he says, for wherein that you judge another, you do the same things. You condemn yourself. For you that judge, you do the same things. And of course, as we read through that second list, there's going to be some things that might have jumped out at some of us, you know, that we used to do and we need to repent of and stay clear of. Disobedient to parents or whatever. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And do you think that this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Now, the Lord got me on this one. He really got me on this one, these scriptures. I got so mad at one of my sons because he was always forgetting everything. You know, and I started ripping on him on the way to school. And to my wife, I was saying, I can't believe he can't remember anything. And it really makes me mad. We need to just, you know, get something done with this boy. And so we finally arrived at school, and I was going up there to pay the bill for the school, the Christian school, and I'd forgotten my wallet. I'm serious. And the Lord smote my heart. He says, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judge another, because you do the same things. And so it's not the attitude that he's got for us, but a different attitude. And let's go to verse 4, and this will describe that new attitude. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And another translation says the kindness of God is what leads you to repentance. Now, I had an experience with a gay guy that had gay temptations for about a year and a half. And it was just really great what God did there. I was in my early 20s, and I had troubles looking at other girls. I had the four boys already, our four sons, and I should have been satisfied with my wife completely. But I found myself looking at other girls. And I met this guy at the auto parts store. We both worked there. He was the second in charge manager, and I was the third in charge manager at this auto parts store. It was in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. And so he told me that he was Presbyterian and that he was married, but he lived the gay lifestyle when he was in high school. And his boyfriend had been showing up. When we started closing the store at night, the boyfriend would show up and do dances and impressions of Marilyn Monroe and different girls. So he was being tempted. And what we came to, and it was really great, is that he was lusting for boys, and I was lusting for girls. It's hard to even say now, but my wife is so wonderful, and I'm so blessed with her. And I'm older. I'm so glad I'm older. You go through those times in your early 20s, you know, when you're real lusty, and some people become dirty old men, and hallelujah, I'm a Jesus man. So he was lusting for boys, and I was lusting for girls, and we realized we both had a problem, and that was so awesome, because here I am, holding hands with a gay guy, praying together in Jesus' name, that God would deliver us, from these things. And it became a very close relationship, and we even had him over for dinner, him and his wife. My wife and I had him over for dinner. They got to know our boys, and it was just amazingly wonderful. And I think that's the heart of God in what we're seeing here. Is, you know what, these guys that are into this reprobate minds and going absolutely the wrong way and are ready to want to kill themselves and things like we read here in the prayer request, they're just people. They're just like you and me. But they have decided to go the wrong way, and they need to hear the voice behind them. And that could be our voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, and begin to work together to get out of that. Because it is, as we've seen tonight, it's devastating. The results and the consequences of this sin is crazy bad. It's crazy bad. And it does crazy bad things to a nation. And it's a horrible thing for us to see. So the Lord would have us be compassionate and to not judge, not try to be Him, the judge and the jury, but to be His representative, His ambassador, to reach out as much as we can. And sometimes they will not. And sometimes they get belligerent against us. But we know that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And we have to just take that and know that that's a sign of being a Christian. Jesus had so much persecution. They persecuted the prophets before you. And it even says to be joyful about it, because great is your reward in heaven. As we stand our ground and just say, this is wrong, this is not right, we can't accept homosexuality as normal. And we can't accept homosexuals being married as being right. It's just not. But it did happen, like I say, in the Roman days. It was perfectly accepted to marry a boy. A boy marrying a boy, and even a little boy, the pedophile thing became okay. But man, we don't want to go there. Gee, this is horrible. We are Christians looking for a way to do what we can to help. Amen? Amen. Is it time to close now? Because I don't have a clock. What time is it now? 8:15. Okay. Well, we can close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We just love your word so much. And Lord, sometimes there's some hard parts. And this is definitely one of those. Father, we pray that you would make us instruments of your love and your grace. Lord, I do pray that somehow, some way, that we can help this man that sent this prayer request, Lord. And Father, we want to stay on your team. And your team is to come to save and to seek that which was lost, to be the great physician, to bring loving care to those that are sick. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Father, we pray that we would be sharpened away from any of these things that were listed. God, help us to recognize it and repent from it and move quickly away from any ideas or bad things in our minds that would produce this kind of deal. And Lord, help us with the movies. Lord, there's too many good movies out there, feel good, lovely movies, that we don't really need to be watching the R-rated movies. And those that have given up movies altogether probably have it best. But Lord, we thank you, Father, for just directing our steps now and helping us to guard our children, guard our grandchildren from things that will influence them in the wrong way. To be strict and, Lord, lovingly watching, being sober and vigilant. For we know our enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might destroy. And so, Lord, we want to stay on your side, Lord, and to go with you. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would desire prayer for anything, the prayer room will be open for you. Flavio, man, would you be in the prayer room tonight, bro? Thank you. So may the Lord bless you. May God continually cause His face to shine upon you and give you His peace. And may the Lord bless you with great conversations with those who need you. Oh yeah, you're the only Bible that a lot of people will read. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.